Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show on KSL Sports. My name is Andy Munoz. I am joined by the full staff, full team RSL Show. We've got junior producer Isaac Munoz. We've got the host slash co-founder Joshua Clark. And we've got Alex Napolis, who's still officially an intern, has not been upgraded. Contrary to popular belief, he does one Chicho interview and you guys lose your mind. You know what I mean? So we got the full team. Let's go around the room. Let's see how everybody's doing. Let's start off with Josh. Josh, how are you doing?
Dude, I'm well. You know, I only have one leg right now, but overall, high spirits. Thanks to RSL. So
fill us in. Why don't you have more than one leg right now? What happened?
I had a hernia repair in my leg that turned out to be a little more complicated than it needed to be. I'm just recovering from that. I have a machine sucking blood out of my body constantly right now, so it's a good time.
They didn't send you home with leeches?
That would have been cooler.
Yeah, yeah. Well, get well, dude. I think we were trying to plan out the show, and I was like kind of trying to get our old studio space back, and then you dropped that on me. So has it been nice, though? Like, has it been nice to be at home in any way?
No, not at all. I'm so bored.
Yeah.
I think I fail to realize how busy I keep myself until I'm like forced to stop, and then it drives me nuts.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully you'll feel better. Isaac's talking about being out of commission. Sounds like Isaac's been sick. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing better. I started feeling sick on Friday, and I'm just barely getting over it. So it's been like a whole week. Kind of glad to be healthy, but just sucks, man.
Did you drink the water in Mexico?
No, I didn't. Did make extra sure not to.
He's probably just going through puberty, dude.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, dude, it'll get better. Sounds like you've had a fun week just chilling. What about you, Alex? What have you been up to, dude? Fill us in, bro. You're always doing all these incredible things. I think you're working the hardest out of all of us, dude. You got the Chicho interview. You got KSL stuff going on. It's only a matter of time, bro, before either another competing podcast takes you or a club takes you. So fill us in, dude. What have you been up to?
You know, man, not much right now. Things have kind of slowed down with, you know, high school being done. We did have the Chicho interview, which was super awesome. If you guys haven't seen that yet, go check it out. Super awesome guy. Love him. It was great to just sit down and be able to talk to him. But other than that, man, nothing. Just enjoying RSL, putting on some good results.
Enjoying your youth, dude?
Enjoying youth, exactly.
Tell us, you had a big, I think you had like almost 100% of the part of getting that set up, going through the club, working with Trey, building that relationship. You basically laid all the groundwork to get Chicho, and this was the third media outlet to have him basically in a one-on-one setting like this. And you did a phenomenal job, dude. You know, like we briefly went over, you know, English questions, interpret your own question, have him answer it. And then Delmi Barrias, shout out. She was there to interpret his answers. But just, you know, candidly, dude, just really just kind of tell us how you felt going into this. Like, you know, were you nervous? Were you overly prepared? I mean, how was the experience leading up to it? And then how are you feeling when it was actually happening? And then how did you feel after it was like concluded and wrapped up?
Leading up to it, I wouldn't say I was nervous. I felt pretty good going into it. I kind of had an idea of like what I wanted to ask him and like what I wanted to talk about with him. During, I just wanted to make him laugh. You know, I just wanted to make sure that he was having a good time. And then after, I felt like it went really well. We got him to laugh a little bit. He was very insightful about talking and very open about talking about LAFC and like kind of comparing LA to RSL. But at the same time, just being insightful about who he is as a person and who he is as a player coming into this squad. And so just overall, super fun interview. And I'm very, very happy that we got the chance to do it with him.
That's dope, dude. Did you ever think, I mean, you've been like a little over a year with RSL show. Did you think that you would have it like before the RSL show? Because I mean, let's face it, we just do awesome stuff all the time. Josh, we know this, right? Dude, we've been doing it for a long time. Whatever. Did you think that prior to you joining RSL Show, did you think you'd get like a cool opportunity like this to really sit down with somebody who is a prominent figure in the league scoring goals and is as relevant as Chicho, like in a one-on-one setting, dude, at the stadium with cameras? Like, did you think that you'd ever get that opportunity this quickly?
No, honestly, no. Super thankful, super for you guys, super thankful for RSL and Trey and Delmi for helping us set it up. But it's super awesome just to be able to be out there experiencing that and to be able to interview Chicho Arango like that. And because he's a star in Major League Soccer, right? Everybody knows Chicho. Super awesome guy. And just having that ability to sit down with him, talk to him the way we did, it was super incredible. And no, I didn't think that, you know, I'd be in a situation like that this quickly.
Cool. Side part to that question, as a fan, did you ever think we were going to have a player the caliber of Chicho Arango?
Probably not, no. I still have to, like, sometimes kind of step back and be like, wow, I did that. Like, we did that. RSL brought in Chicho Arango. So it's interesting.
Cool.
It's a bit surreal still for me, even. Like,
yeah, for sure.
None of us thought that was going to happen.
Just kind of happened, you know.
Yeah,
we haven't really had a chance to record since it happened, but I remember we were in the group chat and I sent it and you were like, no, and then all of a sudden it was happening within like 20 seconds and then the group chat was going crazy.
Yeah Well, no, dude, I think from the fan perspective, I don't think we would ever thought that we'd get somebody as relevant as Chicho on the club. But also, dude, like, no need to thank us, dude. The reason that we brought you in is you're such high value, is because here at the RSL Show, like, we want people who have that attitude, who will go out, get the stories, interview the players, won't be afraid. And so you've been a great addition. Josh, would you agree?
Definitely agree.
All right, cool, man. That's enough paying homage to Alex Napolis. Isaac, you got to one up him now, dude. Who are you going to go interview?
Lionel Messi, dude.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Hey, there's a chance, man. There's a chance that we might see Messi, crowned victorious here in the mountains here soon, depending. What's the stipulations for, like, what has to happen for them to come play a final here? Because
we have to beat Houston, and then Miami has to beat FC Cincinnati. So not likely. Like, the odds are pretty low on both sides, right? So,
but also the odds were pretty low in getting a signing like Chicho, and the odds were pretty low in signing a player like Messi to MLS, right?
Yeah, I'm just not getting too hyped for that yet.
So anything can happen. And if you guys are curious as to where we've been and why things have happened the way that they had, Isaac and I, we flew to Mexico. We put our beautiful grandma to rest, our grandmother. She passed away. She lived a beautiful life. Our cousins, our uncles, they run a church down there. It's a pretty big establishment, and they just did a beautiful service. And then we got to see where she was, like, laid to rest, and it was amazing. It was beautiful. Shortly after that, came back for one day. Chicho news dropped. We put out content as much as we could, and then I was back out to San Diego like the following day. Had an amazing time. And guys, I'm gonna say this for the listeners: if you are working too hard, if you got a lot of things going on — I like to think I'm somebody who's got a lot of things going on. Let's face it, with the way that the world is right now, and just to survive, you gotta have maybe your 9-to-5. You gotta have like a side hustle on the side, and then another side hustle on top of that. Well, this was like the first time where I was just like really able to unplug and go vacation and just be somewhere that I enjoyed and kind of leave everything behind, right? Like, you guys felt that. You guys sent me a text about the RSL Show, and I'm like, here's your answer. I'm going back to vacay mode. If you guys are listening and you're like, dude, life is feeling stressful, life is feeling heavy, I'm not having fun, you're letting the little things in life affect you, take a vacation. Schedule that damn vacation. Take that stupid PTO from somebody who worked so hard for such a long time. And I used to be like that hustle grind mentality at work, like, screw PTO, I don't need it, I'm going to work hard, first to arrive, last to leave. Dude, just set that aside and please, for the love of all things beautiful in this world, go out, get your mental health right, vacation, take a break, because there are things that are more important than working all the time. There are more things that are important than soccer. I hate to say that, but like in reality, I do a lot of soccer. But also enjoy those things with your friends, your family. Step away. If you haven't taken a vacation and you need to hear this, here's your sign to take a damn vacation. And anyways, on top of that, I got stuck in Mexico. You guys saw my tweets. Dude, me and Isaac, we got pulled over, bro. Illegal U-turn in Mexico. The cop took us down to the police station, threatened to take my keys, my car, my title, wanted cash, was asking for cash directly but indirectly. Isaac sweating in my front seat. Isaac told me he was ready to fake a heart attack to try and get out of this thing. Dude, we were like 2 hours with this cop well until like 1:30 in the morning. So I was already tired. Thank goodness I wasn't drinking, and good thing, like, I, you know, definitely not driving out in Mexico. It could have gone a lot worse. But after that experience, I'll always go back to Mexico. I love Mexico so much. My tweets are up on Twitter if you guys want to go find those. But when you come back to the US of A, dude, when you cross that border and you know you're not going to get harassed by the cops for money, I mean, they harass us for other things, but when you know you don't have to pay money out of pocket for bribes to get out of things because they're demanding it from you, essentially, it's such a good feeling to cross over, and I can't be more pleased to be a resident of this great country. And I'm so happy to be home. But anyways, it's just, you know, if you guys can't tell, I'm in a really good mood. And the things that helped me put me here as far as like the great mood and everything is what has manifested and what has happened for this club in the last few days. There we go. There's the transition. Guys, it's a freaking awesome time to be a Real Salt Lake fan. Who cares what we said a month ago? All right? Who cares? Let's just delete all those episodes. No, I'm kidding.
No, like we said a few months ago, we'll change our tune when the club changes its tune, right? And what's happened? The club has shown that they're willing to spend money now. The club brought in the 9 that we've all been dying for. The club's bringing in a 6, another position we've been dying for. So when you're seeing results and then you're seeing the pieces go to this coach who has done a pretty good job for what he's gotten, right? We've definitely had our downtimes where we've all been irritated. But to see, you know, the club starting to gel, Diego Luna on the field, new signings coming in, players starting to perform, of course we're going to change our tune. I'm not going to sit here and continue to complain when things are going well. That's just not what we're here to do.
So what do you say to the people that, because there were two sides, right? There were people who were happy that it was finally coming into completion, that we're seeing like the money spend. But also, I think it was completely valid for us to be critical, where we were saying, okay, when is this going to happen? Obviously, it took some time to get here. But I've seen people online saying, oh, like, how stupid did those people sound or look that were saying that this ownership wasn't going to spend money? Dude, it was a process. We all sat around. Like, there's the season started, the matches started, the results were going horrible. We didn't have the signings that we needed. So, Alex, I'll throw that over to you, dude. I don't know if you saw that, but what would you say to the person or the people who are essentially saying, wow, you guys needed to be more patient and you guys needed to trust in the FO a little bit more? What would you say to those people?
I agree. And I take it back because there was points where I was impatient with this club and with the FO. You know, we talked about it here multiple times, but now they've really taken that initiative to bring in a guy like Chicho Arango, an MLS star, to bring in what's potentially looks like to be a really, really solid defensive midfielder that probably this team needs. And now all of a sudden things are clicking, right? The team is playing really well. Pablo's got 22, 23 guys in rotation that are playing really, really good soccer. We're getting good results, albeit on the road. A lot of positives, man. A lot of positives. And I think right now is a very good time to be kind of on this believe train, to be on the the believe hype of Real Salt Lake, because we're heading in the right direction. And I understand the criticisms of people wanting all this to happen at the winter window before the season started, but you know, I'm just happy to see the direction that we're heading in. It feels good.
Before you go, Josh, I know you're just dying, bro. Alex, please, when you're done with the Kool-Aid, bro, will you hand it over? Thank you so much. I would like a glass too. Josh, go ahead, brother. What do you got to say, dude?
Yeah, I'm going to absolutely counter Alex here, of course. I don't apologize for being harsh on the FO and ownership at the time. Because who's to say if the fans weren't vocal and, you know, irritated and whatever, that they would have done anything, right? If they would have been like, oh, the fans seem fine, we're going to stay apart for the course. The other thing about being patient, yeah, there's patience, but it's hard to be patient when the club's never done anything, right? Not to say that Andres Gomez wasn't something in Brian Vera, but we never really saw the ambition. We're never linked with players, right? None of this stuff happens. So, of course, none of us are going to feel like, you know, something's coming. And anytime we do get linked with someone, oh, that's just their agent playing games. So, no, I don't apologize for being a little impatient here. Am I happy it's changed? Yes. Am I grateful? Yes. Do I still want Elliot Fall fired? Absolutely not, right? I didn't really want him fired in the first place. I wanted ownership to back him up, but I think fans applying pressure to the club is absolutely necessary when warranted. And we were on a pretty horrid run of form, and I think it was absolutely warranted.
So Josh, you know, I know that you countered Alex completely, and Alex, feel free to counter back if you'd like, but there were two signings kind of early on that some would argue was the, you know, the FO or the ownership getting to work that was bringing Anderson, Julio, and Severino back into the rotation, spending some money for those guys. So, I mean, was that just not good enough for you, Josh? Like, do you need a little bit more than that? No?
Well, I mean, let's be real. Anderson, Julio was brought in for absolutely cheap, right? We waited on that deal to bring him in for no money, which in hindsight was the right move because he has not performed to even the $250K we spent on him, to be quite frank. And then bringing back Severino, well, yes, it did cost some money. That felt like a move we would have done even before in the Deloitte days, right? We went through this really long stretch of just bringing guys back, and it never seemed to work out. And, you know, there's even whispers of Sava wanting to leave again. So that wasn't a signal for me to say, hey, we're here. That was a signal like, oh, we got to put someone on the roster, right? Going out and spending big money on multiple positions, that's when you're signaling you're here to compete as an ownership group. And that's what we as fans want to see. Obviously, you know, the right guy, all this nonsense back and forth is fine. And I know now they're saying, you know, originally with Arango and LAFC that the league wasn't allowing it and they had to move him for a few months to move him back. And there's all these weird intricacies. That was difficult. And I get it, but I wish there was some way that they can convey like, hey, no, we really are working on something without, you know, blowing the cover essentially. So yeah, I'm thankful that we're getting these names, and I'm honestly, I keep pinching myself because it's something we've never done, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
And I think it's something that, you know, we've talked about in the past too, is at the beginning of the season, it just felt like there were so many holes in the roster. There were so many holes in what this team needed, and it didn't seem like they were really working on bringing in the reinforcements, bringing in the help that we needed. We had the open DP spot that they didn't use. We had some U22 initiative spots that they didn't use. But now all of a sudden, you're bringing in Arango for that DP spot. You're bringing in Palacio for that U22 spot. We're filling up these roster initiatives that are supposed to help us compete and make us better. And that's what they're doing now. And I love to see it. It's refreshing to have that ability now and to be able to create this roster just in time too for Leagues Cup and the semifinal, the Open Cup, which are going to be huge considering what's at stake.
So we've clearly seen you know, the fruition of the spend, or at least the just kind of like that turnaround with the moves being made, the signings being made. Right now, one of the biggest pieces that we're all seeing, like as a whole, as a fan base, is that this team is kicking so much ass on the road, has yet to click, and you know, basically, I don't know. I wouldn't even want to see a reversal because historically it's always tougher to get a win on the road. But at some point, we need to start getting wins at home. RSL kind of, you know, the results that happened this midweek with Wednesday, we saw some of, obviously a lot of table changes, LAFC now sitting first in the West. And then obviously a team like, you know, St. Louis City losing to Real Salt Lake. It's starting to kind of shift and go in our way. And thank the Lord, the soccer Lord, Lionel Messi. No, actually Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo. Things are going really well for this team on the road, but we have yet to connect at home. So what do we think collectively is the solution? Or I don't know. I mean, do you guys have an answer for this? Or do you guys have like a speculation or anything you guys want to throw into the pot as to why RSL is performing so much better on the road?
Honestly, it's perplexing me. Like, it makes no sense at all. Historically, everyone's bad on the road, or at least just okay on the road. I don't know, like, if everyone needs to go stay at a hotel the night before a home game and, like, do their little walk around town and kumbaya or whatever. But if you can replicate the away form at home and keep the away form going, my guys, we could finish pretty high in the table and have some silverware. Man, I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, but the last couple of results look like championship winning teams, and we don't even have the new firepower. And we're missing guys to boot, right? So I don't know what they're doing on the road that's making them so confident, but man, they need to replicate it at home, because if they do, watch out.
Yeah, and to knock off just to beat a team like St. Louis City. I mean, that was a team that early on in the season I remember saying, hey, like that's a championship caliber team.
They were in first place yesterday.
Hot start. Yeah. I mean, they're demanding a lot out of their play, and they're such a cohesive group. So for Real Salt Lake to go and do it on the road is actually massive. I don't, you know, we didn't obviously record prior to this match, but I think that had we done predictions going into St. Louis City, I don't think we would have expected a win.
No, I would have been maybe a tie. I mean, we have Alex over here who's just turning into Trey and just so positive all the time. But you know, you don't really expect to win on the road against the best team in the league. You don't.
Well, and this is a St. Louis team who's coming in fractured. They don't have their three DP caliber players, especially Joao Klaus. And I think since losing Joao Klaus and Lovin in the midfield, it's been a very different St. Louis, and they've been a struggling St. Louis. They hadn't won in three, now four games. And so I kind of felt like it with the way RSL was playing on the road, heading into St. Louis, I felt confident that they would be able to pull off three.
But did you expect an absolute blowout like that, though?
No, absolutely not. No, I was honestly expecting more of an Austin type game where, you know, you grind that 2-1 victory. But for them to just go into St. Louis, whose fans are phenomenal, incredible fans, and play the way that you played, it's so refreshing to see RSL being as good. The buildups on each and every one of those goals was fantastic. And it's so nice to see kind of that style show for RSL.
I have a question for you, Alex. I noticed this a few games ago, but I feel like there's been a shift in how we press. I feel like we're pressing just unbelievably high right now and aggressively, and I think that's really helped with our form. Have you noticed that as well, or is that something that I'm making up in my head?
No, it's definitely something that's we've seen change. It's been a little bit higher, and I don't know if it's just the personnel that's been out there, but it's definitely it's helped having the rotations, if you will, because you got all these guys coming off fresh. You know, you're not overusing minutes, you're not overplaying players, and they're getting, you know, tired or whatever. But they're coming. You're keeping a fresh 11 in all the time. You have all these players coming in against teams who are also dealing with congested schedules that probably didn't have the fortune that Real Salt Lake had to rotate their lineup the way that we have over the course of the last month and a half. And it shows. It shows the fresh legs. It shows in the momentum. It shows in the press. And RSL has been so good in the press the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think RSL last night showed the entire league how to beat St. Louis, which is press St. Louis back, right? They're going to hit you on the counter, but man, they could not handle, like, our line of confrontation was in their defensive third, and that's what they do to teams. So having someone do it back to them and do it well, they can't beat that.
There's so much to digest out of this match, and we'll get to that. But first, and this isn't the end of the show, Josh, okay? So I know you're going to say, why are we doing this now? We're going to do this because we asked for it, and then we're going to go, and we're going to break down the amazing stuff that happened versus St. Louis City, which we already know it's the Krylock brace and the Diego Luna Moonboy goal. But we asked on Twitter. We polled the Twitter listeners, watchers, followers. We said, you know, do you have confidence in Real Salt Lake to take all 3 points tonight versus St. Louis? Close to 100 votes, but it went 55.8% in favor of Real Salt Lake winning this match, 19% for St. Louis, and then the draw was at 24. So collectively, a lot of people thought we'd get a good result. And then if it wasn't the result, it would be a draw, which if we were to do, you know, go back in time and do predictions, I would probably say a 1-1 draw on the road is what this would have been. Obviously, it didn't end that way, and I'm much happier this way. Now, we also took to Twitter, Instagram. Guys, if you guys aren't following on our social media, follow us. We're very interactive, especially on match day. And then we like to hear what you guys have to say because, in essence, you guys are part of the RSL show too. So we asked, how are you all feeling about Real Salt Lake, the coach, the FO, everything? We are all ears. Zerk, at it Zerk, says, honestly, I feel like we are going into a good direction. FO did an amazing job acquiring Chicho and the incoming number six. Results are good on away games, but we got to get points at home. Hopefully with Chicho, we'll be improving, and I see a home playoff match without a doubt. Do we agree with that statement?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think people have really realized what we're getting with Palacio as well. But I think that signing is going to be huge for RSL.
It's going to settle the midfield and free up Ruiz and Ojeda or whoever. It's going to be a game changer.
For MLS old heads, think like Diego Chara, 2013. That's kind of what you're getting in Palacio.
Damn, that's a statement right there, huh, Josh?
Yeah, six that can also score. Okay.
Pretty good. Pretty good. We'll take it. Hangry Hangry Hippo says, will Andy understand the difference between Zach Farnsworth and Bodhi Hidalgo this episode? Listen, man, there's a lot of young faces. There's a lot of young dudes on the team, on the squad. There was, I think, like three episodes back, I was kind of going in on Bodhi and actually said Zach Farnsworth. And I think like 40 minutes after I posted the episode, Alex Napolis texted me and he's like, dude, Zach Farnsworth hasn't played minutes for Real Salt Lake. Whatever. It's going to happen, guys. I actually saw Zach Farnsworth at training the day that we went to go do the Chicho thing. And I had an opportunity to be like, hey, dude, I am so sorry that I shit on you in public about your playing and you haven't even played with us. I was going to, but then I was like, nah, this guy doesn't listen, bro. They don't care. All right, so Hangry Hangry Hippo, I still hate you, dude. You are my number one troll listener, but I always acknowledge you because you got to acknowledge the trolls from time to time. All right, love you, dude. Hope you're doing great. Hangry Hangry Hippo, by the way, has talked so much smack on me over the years, and he always goes at me on Twitter. But when I saw him for the first time at a Real Salt Lake match, dude, this guy was like, oh, Andy, oh, dude, I listened all the time, and oh, dude, thank you, you're amazing. So it was nothing like he was on the internet. Hangry, hangry hippo, I'll let you defend yourself later. All right, buddy. all right, Derek, D. Ricky, the OG listeners, bro. He says, we're 7-7-5 right now with a dangerous goal scorer incoming. Maybe a defensive midfielder and more. Owners are opening their wallets, scouts are producing, and the FO seems to be clicking too. I think I'm starting to believe again. Now all we need to do is win some at home. So in the past few tweets, people kind of mirroring what we're saying, just start winning at home and things are good. Spurs Base says, for the first time in a long time, I'm happy with the Pablo and the front office. The guys really seem to fight for us and themselves. I think the new signing will be great and will push everyone to be better. Just need to start winning at home and we'll be in a good place. Vamos. Isaac, he threw a vamos in there for you, bro, because he knows you're Hispanic. So, vamos.
Órale, vamos.
So, quick question. Pause question. You know, we're all in high spirits, right? Let's say Saturday comes and we drop another three at home. What's the mood like on Twitter? What's the mood like amongst fans?
Annoying.
I'll answer this one, and then I'll let Alex go. I think if we drop points at home, I think it'll be a disappointment, but I don't think we're ready to rage quite yet. I think there's a clear and obvious disconnect at home where something needs to change. And hopefully Real Salt Lake coming off of a home win in the way that they did. Dude, like Demir Krylov came back and gets a brace, right? Or I'm sorry, he's been back, but you know what I mean.
His form is back.
His form is back, dude. He's getting a brace in Major League Soccer against one of the best teams in the league on the road. And then you got Diego Luna, bro. You got little Diego Luna, little moon boy, tattooed, you know, whatever. Tattoos everywhere. It's cool. I got tattoos, guys. Don't try to cancel me on Twitter. I work. I have a job. I have tattoos, too. But this guy, young kid, U20, US17, like just... Everybody outside of the league, outside of Real Salt Lake fandom can see how awesome this kid's doing. So when you have Demir confidence, Demir getting a brace, going to work, and then you got Diego Luna also delivering, bro, like you can't dismiss those things. They're going to come back, and I really, really think that they're going to pull a win because the confidence is going to be at an all-time high. Your question, if they lose, I'll be disappointed, but I will understand that obviously there's some kind of like mental roadblock to get us back into form to start winning at home. And that's when we start relying on the coach to try and piece that and see where that disconnect is.
Yeah, I definitely think picking up points on the road and ownership investing in the team definitely earns you patience points.
And just to kind of piggyback off what Andy said, it really depends on how if we drop points, it depends on how we drop points. Because I think if we're in a situation where we're in a game like NYCFC where we have so many opportunities created but we just can't find the back of the net, I think it's just frustration, as in why can't Chicho be out there already, right? Why can't our new signings be out there? Because Chicho is a goal scorer. You know, those opportunities are the ones that Chicho wants and Chicho thrives on. If it's a bad performance, then I think that's when you get more into the frustrating end of people being upset towards the way they played. But if it's like NYCFC, I think there's still that glimmer of hope considering what's to come on July 8th.
I agree. D Alligator at Dalwick says, this is possibly the most optimistic I've felt in nearly 10 years as a fan. Good talent incoming, and the team is performing on the road. Turn around home form, and I believe this team is not just a contender, but maybe even a favorite to win the league. I love when they say win the league. You mean win the supporter shield and lose the cup, or like the cup champions? Which one do you mean there? No, I'm kidding. G-Ray, RSL is headed in the right direction. I try to stay even keel and not get too high or too low. FO is bringing in the talent. Now it's just down to chemistry. All signs point in the direction that this team can compete for hardware. Whoa. Josh, you got people here agreeing with you, dude. All right. Last one on Twitter. Here, I know. Crazy. Kev says, I think Pablo gets a lot of flack yet remains steady and now has... this entire organization extremely optimistic. Take a moment and consider Petke and Juarez time as coaches, then realize what Pablo was handed, who handed it to him, and what he's done with it. Keep going, Pablo. Damn.
Oh, he was handed a pile of garbage. There's no doubt.
Pile of hot garbage, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've seen that many a times, and I guess you're right, man. It's I know... us as a podcast, I know other podcasts, other media outlets, fans even. I mean, we've all been so critical, but you know, it's funny, Josh, because you pointed this out, dude. You said we're going to get like some phenomenal win and then everyone's just going to forget because we got such, like, such short memories, right? And we're easy to forgive. But I think the only thing that makes this okay is if it were to be the same result with not these signings like Chicho and perhaps Palacios, then we'd still be...
be way more timid about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'd be a little less like, okay, cool, fluke of a win. We'd still be on that, where's our signings? There's, you know, no movement, no rumors, nothing. So this does feel different. Somebody says they feel way more optimistic than they have in like 10 years. Well, I felt very optimistic. I felt that way after the Western Conference final that we lost, because I was thinking, oh, hey, we're going to have a full season with Pablo. And then that just kind of fizzled out and just kind of watered out. So hopefully this isn't on the same trajectory, but I really don't see that happening unless like Chicho is like a fluke and he doesn't do anything or he doesn't mesh with us, which I just don't believe is going to happen because the guy is just that. He's the guy.
Yeah.
Well, and to kind of bring it back to that interview that we did with him, it goes to show the type of person he is, because he talks about how much success he wants to have here, but he's not just making it about him, right? I asked him the question about what does he need to do to kind of live up to that star status that he has already in Major League Soccer, and he immediately diverted it over to this is a team game, and this is the group that I want to be successful with. It's not about me being the star; it's about the team being the star, and I think that's so pivotal and so vinyl on why it's so important that Chicho is coming, not just because of the goal scoring, but because of the way he wants to just make RSL better and the people around him better.
Yep. Colm Luker says, Chicho didn't even have to play for us to get better. The greatest signing in RSL history, but for real, I think this week against Minnesota will be the real test. If we can start finding our form at home, we might actually be a big player in the West.
Yep.
Ike Gonia says, we just need some more home wins. With the way we look, we could potentially host a playoff game. Look how the Galaxy snuck into fourth last year. With Chicho coming in, I think that took some pressure off a team that really just looked like they were overthinking every decision in the final third, and that's allowed them to actually find rhythm. It'll be even better when Chicho is playing. If I had a little horn like a burr, 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 I would have, yeah, because that's a great statement. Carson Wilcox says, next man up mentality has been very impressive. The team's depth has been questioned in the past, but bench/role players are showing up and playing well. Just need to pick up points at home and we can be a threat in the West. Charles Vasquez says, the team looks completely different the past couple games. They look hungry and are gelling as a team. The coaching staff deserves credit as well. So just super positive stuff online from fans. And one of the listeners' comments that we just read about the next player up mentality. Elliot Fall was on the Spence Checkitz show. I don't know what it's called, but they interviewed him briefly, and they kind of talked about the bench rotation and the depth that they have, and, you know, how does that affect maybe those relationships where players came here or they've earned that start or they've earned, you know, we've said it before, I think on the show, we always kind of refer to it as Pablo's guys, right? Like when we felt frustrated and we were wondering, why is this person starting every single match? Why aren't they coming off the bench? We kind of wrapped it all into, well, Pablo's got his guys. But Elliot in this interview had said that they are, they're welcoming that, and that the locker room is welcoming that, because the players see signings like Chicho or like the other names that we've mentioned. When they come in, not only is it going to force them to have to fight to retain their spot, and they know that that's coming, but also they welcome that talent in because, yeah, dude, when you have somebody like Chicho join a squad who's won Supporter Shield, who's won an MLS trophy, it's the level of knowledge and experience that player has just from his run with LAFC, who is undoubtedly probably already one of the greatest clubs in Major League Soccer history. That experience does something to a club. It does something to a locker room. It does something to the young players who are maybe idolizing Chicho, because you know that's happening. You know there's players in the locker room who are a little starstruck by Chicho, right? So I think, you know, I loved hearing that it's not a threat and that the teams are welcoming it. At the end of the day, I'm sure there's players that are feeling threatened, and we already see it on Twitter. People, you know, throwing names out like Rubio Rubin, like, what's going to happen there, right? So I think it's time for that shift, and I welcome it as well.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Rubio Rubin, I'm sweating a little bit. You know, Danny Musovski's obviously played with Chicho before, but his form's obviously improved. He's looking better. Demir's looking better out of nowhere. So, you know, the attacking guys, they're probably pumped, but you know one or two of them are like, well, there goes my time off the bench, right? And it's probably Rubin because he's been the least productive out of all of them. But even with Palacios, I mean, Ojeda's got to step it up now. Jasper has to step it up. I don't think Ruiz needs to, you know, half-filled bomb earns you some points for a while. But yeah, it just makes everyone better in the long run, and it's a great thing.
Yeah, two things there. So Chicho, in the interview with us, he spoke of Musovski and said that they've got good chemistry and that they play well together. Another player that he mentioned that he was excited to play with was Pablo Ruiz, which is a little, and I mean, he said he was, you know, he's a great player. He's a phenomenal player. It's cool to have kind of gotten that perspective, at least from Chicho, just from himself, because, you know, we've seen our own product. We've seen Pablo Ruiz. We've seen him almost every single match. We've seen him score, and then we've also seen him do some woofs where it's like, whoa, dude, you skied the shit out of that ball. But also, we've seen you score from your own half. Shout out Pablo Ruiz. Hell of a goal. One goal of the week. So it's cool to kind of see that recognition, already from Chicho. Appear to be excited about being here at Real Salt Lake. And I think that when you go out of a league and you had some success and then you go to like Liga MX and then you're back, you got to think that guy's fired up. You got to think he's excited to be back in Major League Soccer. The debate's out there. People saying Major League Soccer surpassing Liga MX. I think from a marketing perspective and from, I mean, the deals that they're pulling, I think it has. So you can't help but just imagine that he's stoked to be back. All right. So first off, Pablo Ruiz, let's talk about it. Isaac, what went through your head, bro, when you saw Pablo Ruiz score from his own half? What was your reaction to that?
I was bummed because I actually missed it. I looked away. I just heard the pop off and the goalie on the floor and then the ball just kind of like rolling out of the net. I was like, did it go in or did it, like, I don't know. So I was bummed, but then I saw the replay and it was pretty sick.
Alex.
Dude, I was freaking out at the stadium. I was like, no way he just scored that. And he did. And it's such a nice goal. Upper 90 from your own half. Like, that it easily could be a goal of the year. Such a beautiful goal from Ruiz.
Joshua, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, you know, you watch Tyler Miller playing super high sweeper keeper a lot like was it Barraza for NYCFC? What's his name? Anyway.
Barraza, yeah.
You had a feeling that someone might try something, and then you know, you see it leave his foot and it's like, oh, is this gonna do it? You know, there's no way this is going in, and then you see Tyler Miller fall backwards in the goal, and it's unbelievable. It's just one of the fun goals that you'll never forget.
Yeah. So glad we didn't have the could it be you betcha call on it. Yeah. I think, Isaac, you tweeted that. Dude, that was actually pretty good. Alex does some sports commentating. Dude, Alex, when you go do your basketball, your football, like, later in the year, if please do that, dude. I want to, like, a winning touchdown call or something. Could it be you betcha? please we'll clip it and we'll use it.
I'll do it for you.
Guys, so let's talk about it. Let's wrap up the show with Real Salt Lake versus St. Louis City. Obviously, big things happening in this match. Things that we didn't. I mean, I couldn't have foreseen. I think some people would say they could foresee a goal from Rubio, or excuse me, wow, from Diego Luna. Also, people could say that maybe they could have seen one go in for Demir Krylak, but then he shocks us and gets a brace, which I didn't really have in my cards at all for this one. So collectively, guys, the effort, we show up, we're playing. What are you guys' first impressions of the match, if any? And we'll just kind of go around the table. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in. First impression was we started out with the high press and we were all over them. It was kind of a back and forth battle for a while. I think, you know, the right side with Jackson looked kind of weak at times, especially getting back defensively. But when him and Luna started flip-flopping, that really kind of changed momentum. I think if they didn't have a DP caliber goalkeeper and Roman Berkey, this game is a much higher scoring game. That dude had some incredible saves on Luna and Demir specifically. And then, you know, seeing the joy on Luna's face and the absolute team goal that was priceless. And then Demir just with two sweet clinical finishes. And then a pretty stout defensive effort on our end. I know the goal we conceded, it was a little soft on Justin Glad, and I think Beavers could have done better with it. But I also think there was a foul in there as well that could have changed the referee's mind. Obviously it didn't, but you know, overall it was just a beautiful team performance. Seeing Anelli step up the way he did, you know, trusting him to shift into the midfield while we bring a right back on to settle the game down. That's a big ask for a rookie, and he's handled it with grace. Lofelsund seemed to have a little bit of a rough game, but I think a lot of that was due to him just getting beat up constantly. But towards the end, you know, towards the end of the match when he came out, he put in that work. He put in that defensive rate. Vera is quickly becoming one of my favorite center backs we've ever had. He's aggressive. He's in everyone's face. He's pushing forward. I love it. So overall, man, I just think it was an excellent team performance. Some beautiful soccer that we've never really seen RSL play for a total 90. You know, the passing, the team effort for the goals. It was all encapsulated in joy, honestly, and I really enjoyed watching that game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun watching RSL just kind of beat up on St. Louis, because it's not very often that you see just RSL hitting on all cylinders. It was last night was just a well-tuned, well-fined, well-running machine. Luna kind of controlling, commanding that midfield, pulling the strings from the wing. Demir stepping up big time. Musoski also had a pretty solid game. I think Lafelson and Ruiz's partnership is there defensively, really, really solid. Just overall, just a good performance. And it's very rare to see RSL at that level that they were last night. I just hope it continues.
Yeah, Real Salt Lake putting on a clinic, man, against St. Louis City. You know, it's just it's a match that we'll probably remember from the season just because of all of the key moments, the highlights that we had. Obviously, Diego Luna, first MLS goal with Real Salt Lake, well overdue. But yeah, I mean, he got that in the 15th minute, and overall, it's just like you guys were saying, Real Salt Lake really did just outclass, outperform a team that for a while has been at the top of the table and has been, you know, more or less like the talk of a serious contender for silverware. So let's just kind of run down the stats. I always like to kind of look at how even the games were. And we'll just go over some of the stats, and then if you guys have something to add, just barge in at any time. So Real Salt Lake shots, 13 to St. Louis City's 11. Shots on target, 9 out of 13 for Real Salt Lake. Shots on target went 3 for 11 on St. Louis. I feel like that's usually flip-flopped, but go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, and it's weird to see RSL have 9 shots on target. Because I feel like even at home, they probably limit it to like 4 or 6. But for them to have 9 of 13 on target, it's awesome. And it's great to see. And I think it just goes to show just how well-tuned that machine was last night for RSL.
Yeah, well, it puts it at like 75% to 80%, but I think you're right. It's usually it's like 40%, right? We're seeing shots probably in like that 10 to 15 range, but then it's on target. It's always like four. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Possession went 52% to 48% in favor of Real Salt Lake. Passes connecting a little bit more. 428 versus 390 for St. Louis. Pass accuracy the same, about 75%. Fouls, it was a little bit more heavy on St. Louis, which I think is understandable. You're losing at home. You're frustrated. You're going to pull, you know, 13 fouls to Real Salt Lake's 8. And as far as corner kick opportunities, we had one less than St. Louis City. It went 4 for St. Louis and 3 for Real Salt Lake. Diego Luna scoring in the 15th minute. Like you said, team goal, Josh. I'm very happy. I think we could all feel like Diego Luna's excitement just on his expression. I think a lot of people were just kind of, you know, proud dad moment, or depending on your age, proud brother moment, whatever it might be. And then Demir Krylock after the first half, 48th minute and 66th minute goals. So with assessing this one, let's just, were there any negatives in this match that we had seen? Probably more so from like an individual performance. I know it's usually tougher to kind of nail these out on wins like these and games that we're excited on, but was there anything that stood out that was a negative from anybody on the field?
I think Jasper had a rough go at it for a lot of the game. I think Bertin Jakobsen also kind of really, really struggled to grow into this game. And I'm honestly glad that Pablo made the substitution at halftime, because it just seemed like Jakobsen was just struggling to kind of figure out ways to break that St. Louis defense. Other than that, though, I mean, just clean up on some of the sloppy turnovers. There were still a couple of bad giveaways, especially early in the first half, especially through that first half. Just some sloppy giveaways that RSL needs to clean up. But besides that, really, I mean, just a good performance from the side.
Yeah, I think the halftime substitution was smart, because 90% of St. Louis's opportunities was coming from the wide positions, where your wingers are supposed to be covering defensively. So that was a smart move by Pablo. It really changed the dynamic of the game and allowed us to, you know, smash and grab 2 goals and then really just ride out the rest of the game. I thought the way we killed off the game was really smart. I haven't really seen us do that, but I mean, we did really well to get to the corners, not take stupid opportunities, you know, that can turn into a counterattack. We played a lot at the corner flag. So that was a nice change to see as well.
And credit to the coaching staff. Credit to Pablo for being able to close that one out. And just kind of, it's not often that you see a team have 20, 23 players consistently playing, you know, in good form. And they have been over the course of the last month. And I think that's huge credit to Pablo and his coaching staff.
Absolutely. The league also kind of recognizing Real Salt Lake's play. Got Demir Krylock in, they don't call it team of the week anymore, I guess, because there's multiple weeks, but there was a team of the match day, which is pretty funny. So yeah, we've got Demir Krylock, a forward, in team of the match day, along with players like Alan Pulido, who is in really good scoring form right now. He's back with Sporting KC after being absent for a while and just getting goals. Not really any other mentions player wise, but Pablo Mastroini also got coach for team of the match day. So I think that's something special. And then also, if you guys look closely on that infographic from MLS, on the bench, Diego Luna was also involved on Team of the Match Day. So some pretty cool accolades, just some cool recognition from the league there. Major League Soccer, for the first time in a while, tweeting and sharing highlights of Real Salt Lake. So yeah, I mean, they just recognize the talents and the goals and all the positive things that were happening there. If you guys are ready to wrap up the Real Salt Lake talk, I've got some results around the league, some bangers, some overall, some really, really fun soccer. I was working five matches last night. One of them was not the Real Salt Lake match. It wasn't assigned, but I was watching that one. But I think in like the stretch of like 30 minutes, dude, like 15 goals dropped. So there were like a lot of goals scored. So unless you guys have something to add to Real Salt Lake talk, we can jump over to MLS. All right, so some very interesting results around the league. A lot of fun matches, like I just said. Atlanta United, New York City FC playing in Atlanta. Pereira gets a brace, but then the win is foiled by a late goal by Atlanta United. 2-2, so they get a draw there. Let's skip over to New York Red Bulls versus Charlotte. 2-2. Full time, Orlando City versus Philadelphia. That's also a 2-2 result.
Did you see that goal from Martinez?
Yes.
Oh, what a strike, man.
Yep, Jose Martinez. What's his nickname, dude? Remind me.
El Brujo.
El Brujo, yeah, dude. Just struck the hell out of that ball. And it came in late, too.
Yeah.
It was like almost like outside foot and then just curled up to the top right bin.
From outside the 18, yeah. Dude. It was so nice.
Beautiful, beautiful shot. So I think that's got – I was going to say that's probably the best goal that happened that night, if my memory is serving right. I would say Diego Luna, but that's just because I'm for some reason emotionally attached to him. I don't know why as a fan. But – yeah, El Brujo, man, we'll definitely take that one. Montreal picks up a win over Nashville. Montreal and Nashville, dude, who's tuning in for that? 1-0 result, Montreal. Josh, I know you've got a lot of free time right now with your leg and all that, but would you tune into a Montreal-Nashville game?
No.
Thank no. you.
Not even for Aaron?
No. I watched MLS 360, so they like popped up, but no.
Yeah.
Nashville is like one of those good teams that's extremely boring to watch. And then Montreal is just Montreal. So I, no.
Yeah.
No. They are good now, but no.
Cincinnati, 3-0 win over Toronto. Houston Dynamo. This match was a little bit slower in the beginning. And then two goals came in a little bit later. Both, I believe, two assists from Hector Herrera to cap that one off. 4-1 over San Jose. Real Salt Lake pulls a win 3-1. We all know about that. We just talked about it. The Colorado-Vancouver match, however, got postponed. Who cares? Chicago, this is actually very surprising. Chicago beats Portland 2-1. Both from pretty like good collected team goals versus a Portland side that historically is, you know, it's good. And I feel like Chicago should have maybe lost that one on paper if you would have asked me prior. But, yeah, pulling a result. LAFC versus Seattle Sounders, just a solo goal, not much action in that match. And I want to say that came from his name escapes me. Somebody Google it real quick. It's
Bogus.
Okay, that's not who I was going to say. But if you're interested in looking up Bogus, his name actually ends with a Z. It's B-O-G-U-S-Z. And I believe is like his first name and his last name. Okay. This is, so Bogus, like they were saying on the broadcast, very surprising signing, basically playing as the eight, producing goals. He's someone that they brought on, not as like a primary goal scorer, but he's finding the back of the net and it's working for them because obviously you're pulling results and you're getting wins. So Real Salt Lake could only hope for something like that where you sign somebody as a role player and then surprisingly, shockingly, they score more goals than what is anticipated. So good on LAFC. LAFC put out a pretty good tweet. Josh, what did the tweet say that you sent to us? It was like something.
I didn't send you a tweet.
Who sent me a tweet?
I think it was Brock.
That's right. Was it you? No. Okay. Brock.
Yeah.
Brock sent me a tweet saying it was LAFC basically chirping at Major League Soccer. Because Major League Soccer put out the new standings and LAFC made a tweet about something about, like, you know, and you guys had us down, irrelevant, something. I'll have to find the tweet. For some reason, I thought it was you guys, but I forget that one of my best friends loves LAFC. So shout out his team. Here it is. Major League Soccer put LAFC retake the top spot in the West. LAFC, quote, retweeted, "The reports of our demise were greatly exaggerated."
So were they ever really reported as being, like, in demise, though?
They
had a poor run, but no one was ever like, "Oh, LAFC's, they're going to be the worst team in the league now forever."
I think maybe like one or two pundits did, like MLS writers or whatever did, but they really only like went a couple weeks without winning, and now they're going to be LAFC again.
Yeah, I think it's more, and I also think that's leaning a little bit more on the fact that they didn't win CONCACAF. And then I also think it's riding on kind of just seeing them, not them, but seeing Carlos Vela lose a little bit of that fire or the form that he had a few years ago. You know, being subbed off early in the CONCACAF Champions match, that was surprising. So I think it's just from that perspective, I think some pundits were kind of going at it. I know a lot of the fan base were going at Vela and the club a little bit, but yeah, I don't think anything ever came down from the league. I mean, the league loves LAFC. Like, they love reporting on that team.
I do think Vela's time as the guy there is coming to an end, though. That I will agree with.
It would never happen, but would you take Vela here?
Of course. But we don't need him, right?
Alex? Look at Alex. His face.
That's a tough one.
Who does he boot, right?
Maybe a year ago I would. Maybe a year ago I would, but it seems like he's on a decline right now, for sure.
Gotcha. All right. Well, LAFC still always favored, still always a threat. They beat out Seattle. Poor Albert Rusnak. All right. LA Galaxy, Sporting KC. 2-2, man. You know, there's not much really to say about this match. Chicharito, obviously ACL injury, is out for the remainder of the season, won't be playing. I think what's weird is it makes that team way more irrelevant, missing Chicharito. But then you've also, I mean, you still got Ricky Puig playing, but I don't think he's one to kind of bring eyes to the Galaxy from the outside perspective, like if you're not a diehard fan. And it's a 2-2 result. I feel like LA Galaxy, that's a good result for the Galaxy, but also you're doing it against Sporting KC, who they're the kind of on the bounce back, but it's still too early to tell if they're actually a good team yet, or if they will be for like the latter of the league, but or the latter of the season. So I'm just not really impressed. I know Alan Pulido's one of those goals came from a PK, so. It just, overall, it's fun to see a 2-2 result, but I don't know. It just wasn't really a hot one. Go ahead, Josh. You got something to add?
Oh, I was just going to say it's kind of wild to see how irrelevant the Galaxy are now. Like, even bringing in Zlatan, like, people went to see Zlatan, not the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's just wild. It's wild what bringing in a team to downtown LA will do to you.
Well, I mean, no one cares or cared about Inter Miami until Messi.
Right, but at the same time, as soon as Messi's gone, no one's going to care about Inter Miami anymore.
Exactly.
Well, and that's Inter Miami's own doing, because they splashed to bring in all these superstars, and they've been one of the worst teams in the league since they started.
Yeah, I mean, they got a little bit of talent, or they had a little bit of talent.
They have talent. They have talent. There's no excuse for them to be as bad as they are.
I think they're still last, right?
They should be, yeah.
Yeah, they're still at the bottom of the East.
it's probably the pink kits, man. Like, pink kits are fun. Like, pink kits are a lot of fun, but also it's like, you know, imagine being in a huddle and you're like, let's go get it. And then you just look around and it's just like all pink. You know, it's a little hard to feel cool in a pink kit. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, maybe just... it's also one of those cases that you can point to where spending money doesn't always equal winning, right? This is where Elliot's you have to spend money on the right pieces really comes into play, because you can throw money at players all day long, but if they don't mesh, they don't fit your style, etc., it's just another player on any given day.
Do we think, here's the real question, do we think that Messi is going to come here and have success in this league and propel Inter Miami to a championship?
No, I think Messi will have success, but I don't think, I mean, obviously it depends on what they put around him, but I don't think him and a bunch of 35-year-old ex-Barcelona players are going to come in and destroy and dismantle the powerhouses that be here, right? They're still going to struggle against LAFC, who's a strong side. Hell, they could struggle against RSL. No one knows, right? It's, you know, not everyone can go play on a, the trope is what, a Wednesday night in Ohio, right? So it, yes, it's big for the league, but I really just don't think he's going to come in and guarantee them a championship. I really don't. If he was 25, maybe.
No, and I think it's going to be – obviously Messi's Messi. He's going to be successful no matter where he goes, no matter what he does. But just look at Toronto FC, for example, who brings in a guy like Lorenzo Insigne, who was still at the top of his game when he joined this Toronto FC side. But it's the pieces around him that are struggling. It's not Insigne per se that is the issue in Toronto. It's the defense. It's the midfield that's struggling. And I think we're going to see a similar situation here with Miami. Sure, they might bring in Sergio Busquets and a couple other Messi friends, but at the end of the day, I still think defensively is where this team struggles. So Messi and, you know, his friends can go get you 4 goals a game, but it's not going to mean anything if you can't defend.
I think Messi is absolutely going to destroy here, honestly. I think he's going to embarrass our league, and then Inter Miami is going to be MLS champions. Watch.
I think you have way too much hope in one guy.
Nah, maybe, but
it's a team game, man.
But it's Messi. I think about it, it's Messi.
But let's take Messi and let's look at PSG. Right? That team was stacked. They can't win the Champions League, right? Sure, they're winning the French League. PSG
was a super team.
Right. They won the French League, but they don't challenge any other team that's well put together.
And Messi still had his individual success there with PSG. But it's going to be the same situation. You're going to come in here, and it's going to be the pieces around him that are going to be struggling.
So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. The one thing we can guarantee, he's going to create some electrifying moments, and referees are going to give him every decision. So those are the two things we can guarantee.
And increased price tickets. Yeah.
Oh, bro. Dude, if we do land, so let's say the all cards fall in our favor, the stars line up, RSL versus Inter Miami in an Open Cup final. It'll be the most expensive cup final for soccer in U.S. history, bar none. I'm not saying like the ticket prices for season ticket holders, but that resale market is going to be bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't remember who on Inter Miami said it, but they were saying like, you know, Inter Miami is not ready for Messi. Right? Like, it was a player saying, whoever can just walk onto the pitch anytime. The gate security, like, sucks.
Their stadium sucks.
Yeah. They're like, we're just not prepped for it. And I think he actually makes a really good point, because people who don't care about MLS, who live in the United States, who praise Messi and, you know, praise him like the son of God, the soccer god, Diego Maradona, like, they're going to be all of a sudden showing up. And just imagine, just picture it in your mind right now. Like, we're media members, right? Like, if there is a final to be played here and it's Messi's debut in just a few months or whatever, that's going to be insane. Like, get to the stadium at 3 p.m. because there probably won't be any parking. Get there early because the press box is going to be filled with people who haven't gone to a Real Salt Lake game in years.
Or ever.
Or ever. Or, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, it's going to be insane, even from the field perspective, trying to be a photographer, videographer, whatever. But just a fan in general, he's going to change this league, and I think it's going to be good for the growth. Somebody asked on Instagram if we thought it was like a fair deal, you know, for Messi to get everything that he got. I think Messi can demand whatever he wants. He's earned it. If he wants to live in a floating mansion right above the pitch, they build a condominium for him just right over like Rio Tinto or something. I think they could make it happen. Right. Stupid. But I think it's going to, this next year, guys, is going to be insane. Or just like the few months. I mean, I can't wait for him to start playing and really just see what happens. And it's going to be an anomaly because, like you said, Josh, he's going to be here and then no one's going to care about Inter Miami. No one's going to care about showing up early to matches. No one's going to care going outside hotels, just try to get a glimpse of Messi. It's going to give us a taste of Europe. It's going to give us a taste of the fandom and the culture that is out there. But it's not sustainable because once he's gone, it's going to disappear with him.
Agreed. And there's really no one else, right, in the pipeline that's the greatest of all time to come in and do the same thing, right? That's old enough anyway. Or even at the same caliber. I don't think there's any current player out there. Maybe Haaland, right? Maybe Erling Haaland is the next big one. But outside of that, there's no new Messi. There's no new Ronaldo. It's interesting that the two superstars were playing at the same time, right? That came after Pele and Maradona. Like, who's going to be the next world's greatest player and actually be the world's greatest player and make people question this guy or Messi, right? Like, who's the next LeBron? Who's the next Tom Brady? It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Going to be pure insanity. Cause right now, like, I don't really see it, man. You know, I don't see anybody on the radar that is going to be as big or bigger, at least yet. Hopefully we get the world lottery, dude. And that kid's just born in like the USA. You know what I mean? Hopefully. So, another result, I know we went on a crazy tangent here, Austin FC 3-0 over FC Dallas. Austin FC fans are happy. You know, one thing that I will say is that that fan base is pretty easy to please. They were really pissed off a few weeks ago, and now they're just happy-go-lucky. Love Matthew McConaughey. They love riding around in Lincolns. They love everything about it. So they're happy. They're green. They're wearing their kits. They're blowing the smoke. And there's a lot of like podcasts popping up around Austin FC too. So glad to see that's happening over in their neck of the woods. Guys, this has been the RSL show. Before we sign off and say goodbye forever, at least until the next episode, does anybody else have anything to add?
We could do some quick predictions over Minnesota this weekend.
We should preview that. That's right. MNUFC Minnesota. Guys, Real Salt Lake taking on Minnesota, a team that sometimes we struggle with or sometimes, I don't know. It's like it feels like it's 50-50. Win probability right now for Real Salt Lake is 44%. So it's actually favoring because a draw possibility is saying that it's 26%, and then Minnesota's at 30%. So, how are we feeling about this match? It's going to be a home match, America First Field, played Saturday, June 24th, 7:30 p.m. How do we feel about this match? That's going to be clear skies, probably.
It's going to be nice. Weather. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this is borderline a must-win. Must win, must continue the form, must continue the momentum kind of home match, which is weird to say, but I think it's kind of a must win, and I think we will. I think we get a result. I think we go 3-1. I think we see Luna on the board again, and I think we see Demir on the board again. And I feel like a defender goal is incoming as well.
Interesting. Alex, what are you thinking?
This is a Minnesota side who is actually pretty good on the road, just like how RSL is good on the road. I think they currently have 12 of the 17 available on the road, something like that. However, I agree with Josh. I think it's riding the confidence and it's riding the kind of the momentum into this one. This is a huge opportunity to switch your fortune at home. I'm going to go 2-1 RSL win.
Yeah. Let's look at the last couple of results. Isaac, go ahead, dude. You seem to be right, dude. So tell us how this match is going to go. And then at least name one player that's going to get a goal.
It's going to be 2-0. And then I think Diego Luna is going to score.
Again?
Yeah, I think he's going to just score again. I don't know. I have a feeling about it, but hopefully he'll get a goal and prove me right again.
you know what's crazy is when I was like the producer, I guess I still kind of technically am, but like when in my very beginnings, Josh, if you remember, dude, my predictions were pretty spot on, bro, score-wise.
Yeah, I call that beginner's luck. You weren't jaded yet.
That's beginner's luck, Isaac. Yeah, I like that. But let's take into account Minnesota United's past results, not counting the U.S. Open Cup, because I don't want to count that. So May 20th, let's just go back. Yeah, let's go back like the last 5-6 matches. So May 20th, full-time result over Portland 1-0. Fast forward to May 27th. We actually drew Minnesota 1-1. So if that's maybe an indicator. However, a lot of things have changed just in that short month. And then they lose May 31st 2-1 versus Austin, which if we remember, Austin FC was actually kind of struggling around that time. So they beat Minnesota. And then June 3rd, Minnesota-Toronto, 1-1 draw. And then Saturday, June 10th, it looks like they had a bye week leading up to the Saturday's match. But on June 10th, they got their asses kicked by Montreal, 4-0. So, in these last five matches, one win, two draws, two losses, and the last loss, pretty significant, 4-0. That's just like a, I don't know if you could say the team's in shambles, but that's pretty alarming to lose 4-0. Yeah? So if that is what we are up against, a team that hasn't won a match since May 20th, a team that drew some and then lost some, pretty bad loss, if that's what we're up against, on paper, we need and we should win this game. We need to win this. We should win this game. I am going to say we've got a hot RSL. Diego Luna doing moon stuff. Demir Krylock. Monkey off his back. I'm going to say, dude, I think we go like a 3-0 result. I want to say 3-0. We go up 1 in the first half and then 2 in the second half. And we should, oh, man, I hate making predictions like this, but I think we're going to pick it up. And I'm going to knock on wood. You guys can hear it. So what do you guys think? What are we? So win for Isaac, win for myself. Alex, you said?
2-1 RSL win.
Josh?
3-1 RSL win. That's scary. Oh, man, that's scary. No, we're going to lose now. I'm going to say we lose 4-3.
All right, cool. Guys, let us know who you agree with. Let us know whose scoreline is probably going to be the most correct. You guys can tweet at us at RSL Show. By the way, big heavy emphasis on YouTube. We've been posting a lot of videos on there. Subscriber count's going up. There's a lot of post stuff on there. We post like the interviews that you may have missed. We post the highlights. A lot of cool stuff going on there. And again, a special thanks to our partners, KSL Sports. They just own the Real Salt Lake space. We got the pre-post match and Lauren and Spenno. On match day, we got David James also doing stuff with them. I mean, there's everything's interweaved, everything's interconnected. So give us a follow. We love you guys, and hopefully Real Salt Lake can pull a win. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the RSL Show.